Today, as we continue our series on 1 Corinthians 13, this familiar passage to lots of us that have probably ever gone to a wedding before, we're looking at one of the aspects of love that Pastor Dave introduced for us last week. The very first one, love is patient. This is something that Jesus shows prominently in his life and in his ministry. And so patience. So when you think of patience, maybe what's the first image or thought or for word picture that comes to mind? And I don't know why exactly, but for me, the first thing that comes to mind is this really wizened, elderly man kind of sitting there still. You maybe ask him a question and it feels like it takes forever for him to answer. He doesn't really do much. He talks slow. He moves slow. But I don't think this is actually a super accurate interpretation of what patience actually is in the Bible. I think that's actually a Hollywoodized version of it, if that's a word that I'm allowed to make up. And it might have some truth to it, but it certainly doesn't capture everything of what patience truly is. Patience is actually an aspect of love. And so being patient is actually an active choice to display patience when it would be easier to do otherwise. And for the first time ever this week, I actually looked up a definition of patience, and I was actually a bit surprised what it said. What the Google Dictionary says is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Now, the not getting upset or angry at delay, that obviously fits really well in with our last series on unhurrying your life. And that's certainly true, that's a display of what patience is, but I don't think it captures fully what patience actually is. The choice to be patient is an act of love, and patience is a relational character trait that has God as its source. And patience, it's not about inaction or doing nothing or even just doing things slowly. I think it's actually about sometimes doing things in the right timing or acting in God's timing. And it's also about endurance and trusting God in his timing and hoping in his plan, no matter what it maybe looks like. In fact, the word patience in some translations of the Bible is often translated as long-suffering. Now that word's no fun, suffering. Suffering's hard, but this biblical idea of long-suffering or of enduring trials is actually a way of showing other people love. But before we get too far, let's dig into our main passage for this morning. We're looking at James 5, 7 to 11. But I just want to give a little bit of an introduction for it. The letter was written by a guy named James, funny how it's called James, but James is actually the younger brother of Jesus. And so while seemingly he didn't follow his older brother Jesus during life, he couldn't really argue when his older brother came back from the dead, when he said, "I'm the Son of God," and then he comes back from the dead. He can't really argue with his deity at any point. And so James, at that point, becomes a really close and dedicated follower of his older brother Jesus. He holds him up as God, and James quickly becomes one of the core prominent leaders of the early church based out of Jerusalem at that time. And his letter to the church is chock full of profound wisdom as well as scathing rebukes. And so he kind of goes back and forth. He gives rebukes and he gives encouragement. And this passage specifically actually comes after one of those rebukes towards rich people. But then it now is a word of encouragement for followers of Jesus. And so he writes in James 5, 7 to 11, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers or sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." Be patient. Oh, there are a few different aspects of patience. And as I've said, one of those is long suffering or having a loving attitude towards others and enduring maybe some things that they would test your patience. Another is maybe having a strong, determined attitude towards the difficult circumstances maybe you're going to. Could you relate to one of those? Maybe you could think of a small human who maybe asks you a billion questions in a day, and maybe on a good day you answer responding lovingly each time they ask you a question or why a million times one after another. Or maybe you're going through difficult circumstances. Maybe you're going through pain. Maybe you're going through a hardship that you're going through, and yet despite the pain, despite the trial, you're choosing to be hopeful. Or could you maybe think of a trial right now that maybe all of us are going through, that no matter the limitations that get changed, no matter the restrictions that maybe get lifted, there's no clear end in sight. We don't know when things will be back the way that we wish that they were. This is certainly a time right now where we all need patience. And you know, when Pastor Dave first told me about this sermon on the greatest based on 1 Corinthians 13, I got super excited about it. I thought it was great. I thought it was a good idea. And then instantly my next thought was, oh, I don't want to preach patience. Please not patience. Please not patience. And God has a sense of humor. And maybe Pastor Dave does too. I think he does. And so I got to do patience. And the reason that I didn't want to do it isn't because I don't like preaching. I love talking. I love preaching. But I struggle with patience. Patience is hard for me. I like to act. I like to do things. But patience is actually something that God has been working in my life a lot over the last few years. And it's been hard and it's been difficult, but I have grown in it a little bit. I know I have a lot more work to do. But one quick example of ways that I've grown in patience is having to wait for our daughter, Alethea. It's always funny when people say that they planned for their children to be so close or this close in age or have this exact gap. And yeah, I had plans too, but God had different ones. And so the gap between our older daughter, Liberty, and our younger daughter, Alethea, was more than we thought it would be. But through that time, God taught me so many things. And one of the verses that Kirsten and I really leaned on during that time was Psalm 37:7, which says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Oh boy, that's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? And one of my least favorite words in the English language is the word wait. Wait. There's this in downtown Penticton by the market. Maybe you've been there. There's these push buttons that you push, and every time you push them, it says wait. And if you have a small human with you that likes to push buttons and just see what happens, maybe you hear wait. Wait, wait, over and over and over again. It's these audio cues for people that are otherwise able, that maybe need an audio cue to go across. But sometimes it feels like that's the narration in our lives, doesn't it? It feels like all we are doing is waiting. We're just looking forward to what's coming next. We're looking forward to the next season. We're looking forward to when things are back to the way we want them to be. But perhaps if we slow down and think for a second, if we sit and be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him, we'll realize that God maybe has a plan in the waiting. Maybe our life doesn't begin after the period of waiting. Maybe it actually begins in the waiting. Maybe it's during the waiting that he actually forms our character. And now the time for waiting for me was not easy, waiting for our daughter, Alethea. There were many times when I was discouraged, when I was disappointed, but looking back, I can see that I grew through it. I learned to trust in God more and trust in his timing. And he used that time to make me more like Jesus. And one of the things that helped me during that time is to actually recognize that patience isn't passive. Patience isn't just sitting around and doing nothing. Patience is actually active. Patience is a choice. It's this active decision to trust in God and take whatever reasonable steps you can, but in the meantime, waiting and trusting in the Lord. And the stillness that the psalmist mentions is being still before the Lord. It's this taking time to spend with Jesus and about waiting for him to act in his perfect timing. And verse 7 of this chapter in James says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming." We are being patient for something, because patience is an expectant waiting on the Lord. We are waiting on the Lord to act. And as Pastor Dave said last week, these character traits, such as patience, aren't something that we do as a to-do list, but they're actually part of God's character as he forms it in us. And so the reason that patience is hard is because it requires that we acknowledge that we have far less control of our circumstances than we wish that we did. And patience actually requires trusting God to have the best plan for us and to act at the right time. And Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." So in the stillness, we acknowledge that we're trusting God, that he is God, that we have way less control than we wish we have. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is just to acknowledge that we are not in control, but to just actively trust God in our stillness. It's about being unhurried and practicing the way of Jesus in an unrushed way. And actually, the Apostle Paul is a really interesting study in patience because he doesn't seem like the typical patient type. He actually certainly seems like a man of action, and I feel like that I love that about him. In fact, he has very shortly after his encounter with Jesus, when he radically changes his life from this miraculous transformation of being a persecutor of the followers of the way, the early followers of Jesus, to all of a sudden he's preaching about this Jesus, proclaiming him as God, and people are shocked to see the change in him. And yet he starts preaching and fervently, it's so much that the Jews actually want to get him killed. They actually have these plans. And so he escapes. He goes in the night from Damascus. He goes to Jerusalem, same thing there. And then he goes to Caesarea. And finally, he goes to Tarsus. And you can read all about this in Acts chapter 9. But then he just disappears off the map all of a sudden. For how long? It seems like it was about 3 years. And so why that long? Why did Paul disappear all of a sudden? Why did God pull him away from this public ministry for 3 years? And I think the reason is because God used that time to form character in him. God wasn't done working in his life. And many of the leaders throughout the Bible and throughout history of the church have had times in the desert. They've had times in isolation. They've had times where they've had to sit and be still before God so that he would form them. They've had times of being formed through stillness and patient endurance, times of silence, time spent with God in prayer and in quiet. Think of Joseph in Potiphar's house, first of all, and then in prison before he became the second most powerful person in Egypt. And then there's Moses, who was in the desert for 40 years. And David, he waited for years after he was anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel until he actually became king over Israel. And then, you know, there's also this guy, maybe you guys have heard of him, named Jesus. He waited 30 years in obscurity, mostly time spent in this nowhere place called Nazareth, as a quiet trades worker. He waited 30 years to begin his public ministry. It wasn't wasted time. It was time of being prepared. And yet, sometimes we want to skip over all of the prep and all of the practice and get right into the game. But patience is about this hope that does not disappoint because it's not based on our strength. It's not based on our resolve. It's based on trusting in the Lord. Our ability to be still because our trust is placed in an infinite God. So we can rest and we can wait because God makes all things new, not in our timing as much as we want, but in his timing. And so we can endure whatever we can go through because he's bearing the burden for us. He's alongside us. His yoke is easy and his burden is light because he bears the weight for us. As James uses this beautiful picture, as the farmer waits for his crops to harvest, we are called to wait on the Lord of the harvest. God knows the timing. And so James is pointing towards Jesus' return. He says, wait expectantly for the day of the Lord. Jesus' return is near. And yet it doesn't feel near sometimes. Sometimes it feels like a long time. But God is not slow as we would count slowness. Instead, he's patient and he's waiting for as many people as possible to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So the Lord's desire, his heart, is for as many people as possible to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. His heart is for his people. So if you wonder, why does it feel like this thing is taking so long? Why does it feel like Jesus isn't coming back yet? It's because he's patient. It's because he loves us enough to wait until as many people as possible can be saved. It's so we can wait until our character can be formed through our stillness, through the trial. And so he's patient with us. He's not slow. And to that end, James then calls us to be firm in our faith and then not to grumble or complain to each other or about each other. And then he also provides this warning of God's judgment. Now, how many of us could admit that when we have hard days, when we've maybe had a hard day at work, or we've just had a hard day of frustrating things happening, or maybe things are piling up and we're just stressed, that we tend to snap, or maybe take out our frustration on our family, or maybe we just feel like we have no patience, so the next little thing that comes, we just take it out on those who are closest to us? But James says, instead, we should refrain from this kind of complaining and grumbling, because that's an aspect of patience. It's not something that relies on our own willpower. It's something that we can get from God, because patience is linked with love. So rather than snapping at our loved ones when they interrupt us after a long day, instead, we're called to be patient with others as a way of loving others with your time. It's a way of showing kindness by not responding when other people delay us or slow us or ask a question of us when we're tired. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, 2, the second half of the verse in 2b, be patient, bearing with one another in love. It's this bearing with one another. It's carrying the weight of other people's lives in your life. Now, can you think of anyone in your life, and please don't point or text them, be like, Pastor Adrian's talking about you right now, about someone who maybe takes more patience than other people's. Now, I once heard Dr. Adrian Rogers, I just love that name for some reason, I'm not sure why, but he once said that there's an odd person in every group of people. There are these people that take a little bit of extra grace, and God allows those people to be there because they're an opportunity for us to show patience and grow in patience and to rub up against one another so that, not physically right now, obviously, but so that we can become more and more like Jesus. And if you look around at your friends group and you don't see anybody that's weird or takes a little bit of extra grace, then unfortunately it's you. And so be patient with other people as they maybe lose their patience with you. But joking aside, we need to show each other patience. We need to bear with one another's weaknesses. There's times that we all need a little bit of extra grace. And this is something that we can do to show each other love as we bear with each other's imperfections and weaknesses. Now, Jesus, as always, he's the perfect example for us to follow. Jesus bore himself patiently with his disciples. Over and over and over again, they misunderstood. Over and over and over again, he told a parable, and then they had to have it explained really slowly after so that they would understand. And yet, Jesus took the time to spend with them, to explain it with them. And yet, he never got distracted from what truly mattered. But he still had times, we could see, where Jesus was no longer patient. Jesus had times when he, quote-unquote, lost his patience. He had times when he actually displayed anger and love. Think of Jesus flipping tables. Think of him calling out the Pharisees as whitewashed tombs. He provided prophetic warnings. He had times where he showed us that there's time for patience to end. There's times to act. He cried out against injustice. He stood up for what was right. And the reason is because even God has limits to his patience. And so we should too at times. And so there are certainly times when we should act. But all of these actions, they must be guided by the Holy Spirit in prayer. So we're not called to be these passive agents in the world that don't act, that never do anything. But we're actually meant to be active in doing the good for others. But often we look too much on ourselves. We're patient towards other people's suffering and yet impatient towards our own suffering. But it should be the other way around. We should be willing to endure our own suffering and yet being impatient towards the suffering of others. We're not called to be patient towards the injustices around us. We cannot be patiently endure human trafficking, human slavery, racism, mistreatment of the poor or downtrodden. We must act and help however possible, because patience doesn't include the toleration of evil. Patience isn't about enduring evil and just letting it go. No, it's about actively trying to undo evil in the world. But in our own trials, in our own suffering, we're to look to the examples of those who have gone before us. What Hebrews calls the great cloud of witnesses. And Job is a great example of someone who suffered patiently, someone who endured something. And it very much seems like Job did not do anything to deserve the suffering he was going through. He didn't do anything. He didn't do something wrong in order to go through that trial. And yet Jesus warns of the same things for followers of Jesus. He warns that his followers will be persecuted and will suffer for their faith. Charles Swindle wrote a biography of sorts about Paul, which is great. I've read it. I love it. I love reading examples of other people who have gone before us. And there are many modern examples of people that you could read. I'd encourage you to pick up a biography of a Christian man or woman who has gone before, who has sought to undo injustices in the world. And Christians, examples, and that's what Hebrews calls this great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us that we can look to as examples and can bring us great encouragement. Because patient perseverance is actually a blessing. And it's a blessing that can only come from God. This can't come naturally. Only God can help us go through life this way. Only God's strength can help us get through trials that are difficult in our lives. So now, are you going through something hard right now? Are you going through a trial that is weighing you down? Are you going through times that are very hard, that are difficult, that you feel you have no patience left? Then you need to turn to God to help you persevere. It's only God that can help you get through things like this. Only God's strength can help us get through the most difficult times in our lives. As I mentioned, waiting for our daughter Alethea was a trial. It was difficult, and we had difficulties in the way that I won't bring up right now. But the only way I was able to make it through with faith and with hope was by leaning on Jesus. And I didn't do it perfectly every day. But do you recognize in yourself, like me, that you need to grow in patience? So how do we actually grow in patience? Well, I do not have a to-do list. I don't have a 10 things that will make you more patient. I have a one thing that you can do to make yourself more patient, which is you can't, but God can. You cannot make yourself more patient. You can't just try and think. You have to actually go to God and help, ask for his help. Ask the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. And as you work alongside him, maybe he will give you things that you can do. Maybe if you're feeling really grumpy and tired at the end of the day, maybe you need to sleep more. Maybe you need to work out more. Maybe you need to, if you're starting to get a little hangry like I do at times, maybe you need to eat a snack. But whatever it is, if you struggle with patience, you need to go to God to help you. So only by spending time with Jesus can you actually become more like Jesus. That's it. It's that simple. We just need to spend time with God. And the Holy Spirit, through that time spent with him, maybe he'll point out things in our lives. Maybe he'll start filing off those rough edges in our lives. Maybe we have habits. Maybe we have things that we're doing or not doing that we need to do or not do. And then he'll point those out. But other than that, it's just spending time with Jesus. If we want to start showing the love of Jesus, if we want to display the character traits of Jesus, if we want to be more patient like Jesus is patient, then we need to allow him to fill us with his love each and every day. He is the well that will never run dry, but we do run dry, so we need to run to Jesus to fill us up. So go to God and ask him to make you more patient. Work with him to shape your character to be more like him. And so there are likely things that we need to do, but it all starts with spending time with Jesus every day. So maybe if you're taking out your frustrations on your family or your friends or those close to you, maybe you need to take those frustrations to God first. Rather than complaining to your friends or taking out your frustrations, maybe you just need to take them to God and go, God, I'm frustrated about this. I'm angry about this. Help me out. Rather than pouring it out on those around you. Maybe take your concerns to Jesus. Is there something that's worrying you? Is there something that's bringing you pain? Take your desires. Take your hopes, your dreams, your victories, your failures. Take it all to him and trust him to bring you his promises in his good and right time. So if you want to be more like Jesus, spend more time with Jesus. Now, would you please join me as we pray? Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your love, your grace, your patience with us. And Lord, we may not always understand why we have to wait. We maybe don't always understand why we have to go through suffering, why we have to go through trials, Lord. Help us to wait expectantly on you. Help us to trust you and your goodness and your timing, Lord. And maybe we won't get what we think we want or what we think we need, Lord. But help us to trust you no matter what. Help us to endure our suffering with patience because that comes from you. May you fill us with your Holy Spirit. May you help us, equip us to go through whatever we are going through in this life, Lord. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's difficult, and yet there are moments of joy and brilliance, and we can be filled with joy because it comes from you, Jesus. So fill us up with your love and help each one of us to become more and more like you, Jesus, as we spend time with you. Help us to make you a priority in our lives. And even if that dreaded four-letter word, wait, comes, Lord, that we maybe it goes on for years, Lord. Maybe it never comes in this side of life. Maybe we have to wait for the next, that, Lord, that we would trust you. And so thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are patient and that you long for all to be saved. And Lord, if there is someone listening, if there's someone watching right this moment that hasn't yet put their faith, hope, and trust in you, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to their lives and that they wouldn't wait to respond to that love, but they would rejoice and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want you to be Lord of my life. And so, Jesus, I pray that they would take that step of faith and that you would fill them with your Spirit and your love and your grace and your mercy and that they would be made new and become more like you, Jesus. In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, Bethel Church. Thanks for being with us today.